Mahe Pachandrodaya Mante Ki Jai, Shishi Radha Madhava Chandanya Tamotsav Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai, Sri Harinam Shamkitan Gaur Bhakta Prind Ki Jai, Jai Nitai Go Premanandi, Shamaveta Bhakta Prind Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, text number 36. Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Na not antaha, inside the place or home. Bahi, outside the home. Dipo, during the daytime. Naktam, during the night. Anyashmat, from any others beyond Lord Brahma. Oppi, even. Cha, also. Ayutai, by any weapons used within this material world. Na, nor. Bhumo, on the ground. Na, not. Ambari, in the sky. Mrityu, death. Na, not. Narai, by any man. Na, nor. Mrigai, by any animal. Opi, also. We should have chanted the sloka first, right? I usually chant, sorry. Anyway, here is the sloka. Nanta bahiti vanaktam anyashmara picha yudai nabumo nambari mrityur nanare namrigaropi nanta bahiti vanaktam anyashmara picha yudai Na bhumo na bari mityur Na narer na migeropi Nanta bahi divanaktam Anyasmara picha yudai Na bhumo na bari mityur Na narer na migeropi Nantabahiti vanaktam Anyasmara picha yudai Nabumo mampare mityu Nanare namigiropi Nantabahiti vanaktam Anyasmara picha yudai Nabumo nambari mityu Nanare namike ropi Nantavayi divanattam Anyasmara picha yudai Na Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, the boy Sharanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grant me that I not die within the residence or outside any residence, during the daytime or at night, nor on the ground or in the sky. Please grant me that my death not be brought by any being other than those created by you, nor by any weapon, nor by any human being or animal. Please repeat. Grant me that I not die within any residence or outside any residence, during the daytime or at night, nor on the ground or in the sky. Grant me that my death not be bought by any other being other than those created by you, nor by any weapon, nor by any human being or animal. Purport. Hiranyakashipu was very much afraid of Vishnu's becoming an animal to kill him, because his brother had been killed by Vishnu when the Lord took the shape of a boar. He was therefore very careful to guard against all kinds of animals. But even without taking the shape of an animal, Vishnu could kill him by hurling his through the sun chakra, which can go anywhere without the Lord's physical presence. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu was careful to guard against all kinds of weapons. He guarded against all kinds of time, space, and countries, because he was afraid of being killed by someone else in some other land. There are many other planets, higher and lower, and therefore he prayed for the benediction of not being killed by any resident of any of these planets. There are three original deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. Hiranyakashipu knew that Brahma would not kill him, but he also wanted not to be killed by Lord Vishnu or Lord Shiva. Consequently, he prayed for such a benediction. Hiranyakashipu thought himself securely protected by any kind of death caused by any living entity within this universe. He also carefully guarded against natural death, which might take place within the house or outside the house. Om Agyan Smitam Dasha Chananjanan Shalakayo Takshurum Nitandina Tajmaya Shri Grivinamaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karatha Shri Bhashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here, Hiranyakashipu is making a program to become immortal by his intelligence. Lord Brahma explained to him that I cannot give you that the benediction of immortality, because even I have to die. I am also a created being, I have to die also. So Hiranyakashipu, he was such a demon that he thought, anyway, if I have to die, the soul doesn't die. And by the power of my austerities, even if I have to die, but still, because the soul is eternal, then I'll maintain this desire, so my next birth I can take birth as a Brahma. I can become a Brahma also. This was his ultimate plan, was to take the post of Lord Brahma. He wanted to be the controller of the universe. That was his ultimate desire. So, not be killed by any kind of animal, because Hiranaksha, Lord Varaha, was manifested from Lord Brahma in a form of an animal, and he killed Hiranyaka. So he's making sure no animal will come and kill. It won't be in the form of any kind of animal. The Lord takes on different incarnations with animals. Lord Varaha, Matsya, Lord Nrisingadev, Kachap, Toto. So, he was making all these plans, and he said, well, Brahma won't kill me, he's giving me a benediction, he's not going to kill me, but Shiva, he may kill me. So he's praying that all beings that come from you, Lord Brahma, I cannot be killed by these. Lord Varaha came from Brahma, he was born from his nostril. So he's praying, Lord Shiva is also coming from the eyes of Brahma, the third eye. So he's praying that these personalities also not be able to kill me. But it's said that Vishnu, he is everywhere, he has no form. They say he has no form, he has form and he has no form. He is everywhere, all pervading. So even if he is not, even if he doesn't have a form, he can still throw his Suda Sanchakra by his will, and that can kill me. And I won't be even able to see where he's coming from, because I can't see, because he's said to be invisible. So therefore he's making all these different I've excluded all places, times, circumstances from death. Everywhere is covered now. He thought, I'm so intelligent, I covered everywhere. But what about natural death? He thought, yes, everybody has to die, it's naturally. So natural death will be death. So then he's asking a benediction also. But even natural death, he will not be... If I've covered every place there is in the universe, then natural death will be excluded, because death needs that place to also become manifest. But I've covered every place, so therefore natural death can't even come, it will be excluded. So anywhere, he's saying, on this earth, on the ground or in the sky, indicates that On the ground means the seven lower planetary systems down to Patala Loka, and in the sky means the higher or the seven higher planetary systems. So he's covering all the different planets of the universe and the different personalities. He's also frightened. Just like Daksha also came with Lord Brahma to see Hiranyakashipu at the time when he gave him his benediction. So Daksha was there. Daksha is the first progenitor of the one of the first created beings in the world. He's the progenitor of the world. So he's very, very powerful. So he was thinking also of Daksha. Daksha was there when he was talking with Lord Brahma. So he wanted also these, even these very powerful personalities. So he, somehow or another, he found that there was, he thought there was no loophole that anybody can, anyhow can come and kill me now. So he was actually satisfied that he wouldn't be killed. Now here is this is the nature of the demon. He wants here, the controlling is the main thing. He wants to be the big controller, because Brahma is the big controller here. So he wants to take that position of being the controller, which is Krishna's position. Bhoktaram Jagatapasham Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He's controlling all the lokas, all the different planetary systems. So Hiranyakashipu wanted to take that position. I want to be the controller of all the planetary systems. So he's meeting Lord Brahma here. Lord Brahma is all pervading. He's like God. He's all pervading in the universe because he's the engineer of the universe. He has to know every nook and corner. So he's practically all pervading. Very, very powerful. Can give so many benedictions. But we see Hiranyakashipu is asking for these mundane benedictions. He could ask for something very, very elevating, and he could ask to go back when Brahma. At the end of the universe, Brahma will go back to God. He could have asked to go back to Godhead with Brahma at the end of his life. But he didn't. He asked for all these different benedictions and boons just to become a controller of one universe. And these universes are coming, millions of universes are coming with every breath of Vishnu. So this was his benediction. All that austerity, he went, lost all of his flesh, everything. It's a very, very severe austerity. Nobody can match that austerity. So he can get a position that lasts for half a breath. That's all. Vishnu is breathing out, and then the universes are manifested, then become unmanifested. It's half a breath of Vishnu. And the troubled Hiranyakashipu has gone just to achieve this position, temporary position of half a breath, of being the controller of one universe. Haribo! So this is the demoniac mentality. They're bewildered. They think they will never die. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Ambogi. They think no one is greater than them then. Gee, this is Hiranyakashipu. I want to be in that greatest. No. And control everyone. And he got it also. Now I can enjoy. He sat on the King of Heaven. He kicked Indra out of what's his place name? Aravata. Kicked Indra out of there. He sat on Indra's throne. Now I've got I'm the King, King of Heaven. King means enjoyer. You got a king's body, it means you're a big, big enjoyer. You wanted to enjoy. It's the maximum enjoyment in the material. So he got the King of Heaven. So that was his enjoying. First I'll control, conquer and control. Now I can enjoy. I'll sit on the heavenly king's throne and I can order anything I want. Or the demigods were coming up and paying obeisances to Hiranyakashipu and offering, giving all their offerings to him. so powerful. He was just changing the seasons. Whatever he said, the demigods are in charge of this universe. They're all parts of the Vishwarupa. So anything he wanted, he just ordered that demigod. And all the demigods were shivering in pride. You do this, you do this, you do this. You change the season, make it a nice season or something like that. So this way he was controlling all the devatas. But ultimately he couldn't match the skill of Krishna, the intelligence of Krishna. So Krishna came in the astonishing form to fulfill the benediction of Brahma, but simultaneously he could kill the Hiranyakashipu. So half man, half animal. He wasn't man, he was an animal. Ravana had a benediction also. He wouldn't be killed by all these. But Ravana, he didn't say, I shouldn't be killed by a man. He had a benediction. He never said that because he thought, what, man? Man? What man can conquer me? So he didn't even bother about men of the material world, the higher planets, he was talking. But an earthling man, it was a joke, so he didn't even mention it. So Lord Rama appeared and killed him. But he was thinking, what man can do it? So Ram, in the form of a human, he came and killed him. So not in the sky and not on the land. So where did he kill him? On his lap. He put Hiranyakashipu across his lap and began to eat him. Not he took the intestines, pulled his guts apart and put the intestines in. So this was because Hiranyakashipu had all the demigods coming and offering him everything which was meant for Vishnu. This was all meant to be offered to Vishnu, Vishnu Bhagavat. Hiranyakashipu would change the situation. You offer it to me. So that was the significance of Hiranyakashipu's tearing him apart and pulling out his intestines, making a mala, a nice garland, a nice lotus garland. He had a, because he's a lion, they don't mind licking blood and things like that. But he had intestines. So when he pulled out those intestines and put them on his, this means that when you eat food, it goes through the intestines and gets digested. So when he did that, he was showing the demigods, I'm accepting all of that offerings you have made. I'm accepting it in the form of your intestines. They ate all the food, it went inside. Now I'm taking that and I'm putting it on my body. So I'm accepting all of your offerings now. Can't be killed by any kind of weapon, so fingernail is not considered a weapon. You can't be, some people grow long fingernails, very sharp, but it can't be considered a weapon, the fingernails. So, what else was there? Within the house or without the house, but he was on the courtyard. He was on the threshold of the door, the inside and outside. He was sitting on the doorway. So he wasn't inside, he wasn't outside. And it wasn't daytime, it wasn't nighttime, it was dusk, sandhya, it was just setting, the sun was setting, so it wasn't daylight and it wasn't nighttime. Sandhya in between. nor on the ground, nor on the sky. So his lap is here, it wasn't on the ground, not in the sky. So like this. I cannot be killed by any living entity. Living or non-living, more or less covers everything. But anyway, despite all these benedictions, Krishna is so intelligent. that he defeated. Prabhupada was, he was confronted. He went to see this, it was a club. You had to have a very, very high IQ, a very high intelligence to belong to it. Otherwise you couldn't. So they were really, really brainy people. So Prabhupada met them in England. The name of the club was, anybody remember? Is it Mentor Club or something like that? Anyway, so they asked Prabhupada a trick question. We'll trick Prabhupada. And they said that, now here is God so great that he can create a mountain that is so big that he cannot lift it? And Prabhupada said, yes. And they said, then he is not God, because he's got something he cannot do. He cannot lift the mountain. Then he's not God. Prabhupada said, then he can lift it. Anyway, one became a follower of Prabhupada. He accepted Prabhupada. So just like that, how Krishna is highly intelligent. Prabhupada, he was also very highly intelligent. Anyway, so yeah, Lord Brahma, he could have asked, Hiranyakashipu could ask for so many benedictions, help the universe, help himself. All he was interested in doing was having a temporary position of being a patroller and enjoyer. On a universal level, that's all. Everybody has that disease. We may not be Hiranyakashipu. You probably said there'll never be a big demon like that again. Not this yuga, at least. But everybody has the same propensity in the material world. They want to be the controller and want to be the enjoyer. The same disease is there. Hiranyakashipu gets small facility, but even whatever facility we've got, this is a natural tendency in this world. When we forget Krishna, is to want to be controllers and enjoyers. So at least we'll control a little space. I'll control my household and household affairs. I'll control my Brahmacharya room and the so it's there. So Krishna will fulfill all of our desires that we want to control and enjoy this world. That's why Krishna, he's spoken so many things in Bhagavad Gita, so many systems. Jnana, Vairagya, renunciation of sannyas, knowledge of Atma, Paramatma, Brahman, Vanashram system, Panta, yoga system. So many systems Krishna has given to Arjuna, Kama Yoga. fight and do your work for me. Now, why does Krishna give all these systems? Why does he invent all these different systems? Because he is saying, sarvadharam patitya cha mamikam sa. You should give up all these systems. All these dharmas I'm teaching, you give them up. So why bother at all to give all of these dharmas? Why should Krishna do that? Why doesn't he speak Bhagavad Gita 1 shloka, 1866? What, two slokas? Man manana bhagavad, sarvadhanam paritya. If that's Krishna's message, why does he bewilder everyone and speak so many messages? So the idea is that the living entities, because of this desire to control and enjoy, and they want to do it in a certain way, according to their bodily situation, they want to do it in a different way. So some want to enjoy material gross sense gratification, some want to be controlled and practice varnashram, someone wants to control, become a jnani, someone wants to become a yogi. So because of this attachment of being a controller and enjoyer, therefore Krishna is giving all these different systems or methods, which are nothing but methods of controlling and enjoying. That's all it is. If you're a grihastha, you're controlling, enjoying your ashram. If you're a jnani, you're controlling your yogi. It's very prominent for the yogi, the ashtanta yogi, because it's all control, 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 control. Eight times. Control this asan. Control the breathing process. Control the airs in the body. Control, 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 control. Withdraw the senses. And what is the goal of that? Eightfold yoga practice of controlling system is samadhi. Or nirvana, or Brahman, or whatever. But the idea is that beyond all of this control is the enjoy. So the yogis are doing that. All that control, control. Why? Then I can go nirvana. I can enjoy unlimited. I can merge unlimitedly or enjoy unlimitedly in spirit. So this is the disease that's there with everyone in this material world, and it comes out. We let it out according to our propensities. I'm very attached to my way of doing things, and someone else is very much attached to their way of doing things, the controlling and enjoying. But everybody has this disease, and we're attached to doing it. So Krishna speaks all these processes and says, no, you practice it until you come to the understanding that, you know, what I'm actually saying in Bhagavad Gita is, you know, give up all these controlling and enjoying processes. This is not what I want you to do. You want to do it, therefore I'm giving it to you. I want you to surrender. So give up all the other dharma, control and enjoying dharmas. You won't be happy doing that. So give them all up and surrender. I'll take care of everything. You don't worry. This is Krishna's proposal. But because we wanted that position of controlling, enjoying my way, then therefore Krishna kindly speaks and gives us these systems. But you can actually control and enjoy according to the system. You get a different result according to the different process. The jnanis get a different result from the yogis. The jnanis see Brahman, the yogis see Paramatma. The karmis, they see fruitive work. So according to the system, you get a different result. So everybody is different, so they have to... So Krishna gives many, many systems. He's satisfying everyone. Krishna is so great. Do it like this, do it like this, do it like this. And you'll get maximum happiness because I've created these systems and they're from Veda. So you won't get more happiness if you create your own system. I've created these divisions of varnashram in society. You want a living society, then perform varnashram. Because you won't get more happier than being in a progressive system of Varnashram. Because it's Krishna's creation. So don't make your own creation and speculate, I'll do like this, then you won't get as much happiness as if you follow Krishna's creation. You follow the yoga system, Krishna says, follow it like this, you'll get maximum happiness. If you just speculate how you're going to do your yoga, then you won't get so much happiness. So Krishna's offering you the best if you follow his words, because I'm the Narada Vedanta, I'm speaker of Vedanta, I'm compiler of Vedanta. So I'm giving you the different systems from the Vedas. That you can take your choice according to your mentality. And you can enjoy best if you follow Krishna's program. Then ultimately Krishna says, now if you want to enjoy better than all the other systems put together, all your processes, if you surrender unto me, you're going to enjoy most. So this is Krishna's benediction. You want, after all, they all want happiness, the karmic, jnani, yogi, the goal is happiness. So Krishna's saying, I'm giving you a system which will bring you the greatest happiness. It's surrendering unto me, this will bring you the greatest happiness. Greater than all the other systems you're following. So Krishna wants our happiness. It's not a joke that Krishna is playing. You know, here is all these different systems. You should follow these systems, and then I'll see how you're going, how the jnani is going, and you're always going off in Maya instead of controlling your senses. Krishna is having a laugh about it. Okay, I'll give you a bad reaction. Oh, you didn't perform all the mantras properly in your karmic, your fruitive activity, you did one jagna and thing, you didn't do everything properly, so so I'll give you a bad result for it. It's not that Krishna's playing some kind of game, that he gets kind of pleasure seeing that how we're struggling, and he's getting a kick out of it. How we're... No, Krishna is actually very, very compassionate. He only wants our best interest. So he knows that's our best interest, to surrender unto him and serve him. So Krishna... So this is Krishna's kindness. He wants us to give us the topmost happiness. That's what it's all about. Happiness is what it's all about. Taste is what it's all about. God is one and he becomes many. What for? Taste, pleasure. In the material world, it's what it's all about. Why Hiranyakashipu is doing this? Why he's terrorizing the universe? Taste. Taste of controlling, taste of enjoying. Why are we running around doing all different things? Taste. We're establishing a little circle. Why taste? We're getting taste. Trying to get taste of it. So this is Krishna's business. So, devotee, give up, not giving up controlling and enjoying propensity, but giving up. Now we're still controlling, but we're controlling activities for Krishna's taste. We want Krishna's enjoyment. So we're performing, we're controlling, we're making the International Society for Krishna Consciousness for Mahaprabhu's taste. This is his desire, so we're satisfying his desire. So it takes control to make a society. So we're controlling for Mahaprabhu's pleasure when that's his program. So when we control for Mahaprabhu, then we get happiness, we get taste. Because he gets this. So taste is what life is all about. Purpose of life is pleasure. That's why Krishna expands for pleasure. Krishna is very notorious as being a taster. So he shows us when he appears in his original form of Krishna, he has very specific taste. But you can also join in that taste. Krishna's inviting you. It's not me just be alone tasting. I'm inviting everyone. You can enjoy equally. Mahaprabhu came. Why Mahabharata and I? He came to taste Bhaja Prema. It wasn't available before. His selfish, supreme selfish desire. It was his desire to taste. So he was tasting. But he doesn't keep it to himself. Gives to others also. Here, take it. What I'm tasting is making me intoxicated. An intoxicated person, they don't understand what they're doing. So he has his most valuable thing, Braja Prema, very rare. That he is giving freely because he has become intoxicated. So he's tasting it, but he's also inviting others, come and taste, come and taste, come and taste. So Krishna's always giving his mercy. Krishna's mercy is always there. Always. They just read, you know, every morning, Pandav Prabhu reads that Prabhupada quote of the day, he reads after Mangalarati. 10th of May, a couple of days ago, 10th of May, from Australia somewhere. And Prabhupada, this was the quote. It struck me when I heard it. He said, Krishna's mercy is always there. But it is misuse of your free will. You are giving the opportunity, and that is your fortune. You're giving savor. You are given opportunity, that is your fortune, but you don't accept that fortune. Therefore, that is your misfortune. It struck me when I heard that. So Krishna's mercy is, he's giving all everywhere, all times, all places. His service is everywhere. And we can take it. But he said, it is your misuse of the free will that you don't accept it. You accept something else. So Krishna is giving your fortune. Here is fortune, take it. This is Mahaprabhu's incarnation. I come to give, please take, take. How can I distribute it all by myself? Take, take. But if we misuse our free will, then we're not fortunate. We cannot take that fortune. And that becomes our misfortune. Nice quote. Actually, it's the same quote as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the beginning of the Nambudip Dal Mahap, you know, that he points out everyone is searching for happiness. No matter what you do in life, the purpose of it is happiness. So, if you want happiness, and here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming to give a happiness that's beyond your expectation, incomparable happiness. So you want happiness, everybody wants happiness. So here is a happiness that you've never experienced before and you'll never experience. And he said, fortunate people took it, could take it, but unfortunate people, they could not take it. Same thing. Mahaprabhu is giving freely, take it, but if you're fortunate, you can take it. If you're unfortunate, you cannot take it. Bhavananda Prabhu, he asked Srila Prabhupada that I had a friend, we grew up together, we went to school together, we did everything together. We met the devotees together. I wanted to join. I said, "Let's, my friend, let's join." He said, "Not for me." He didn't do it properly. So he asked Prabhupada, why was it? We were exactly the same. We did everything the same, but when we came to Krishna consciousness, he didn't want to join, and I joined. Why is that? And Prabhupada said that was his misfortune. And because you joined, that was your fortune. So Krishna, he's simply interested in our fortunate situation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the unfortunate ones did not take it. Now let us analyze why they did not take this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because they were overly proud of their own intelligence. Overly proud of their own intelligence. They could not accept. They had a program, they had intelligence, and it was for happiness, the goal was happiness. And they were overly proud that I'll do it my way. This is due to my conditioning now, this is the way I think I can get happiness right now. They're overly proud of their own intelligence that they could not accept what Mahaprabhu was giving. Same thing Bhishma Dev says when Bhaktivinoda Thakur meets him, Navadip Bhava Taranga. He's describing, here is a spiritual realm, Navadvip. Here are palatial buildings here built with gems and stones, and countless devotees of Gauranga here all chanting Krishna's name, all mad, incessantly mad with love of Godhead. But as long as your intelligence holds on to your material identification, it will not be visible. Again, as long as your intelligence holds on to material identification, it will not be visible. But by the association of devotees, we can learn to become Trinada Bhishma Shitoro Bhishma. Then everything will be revealed by the mercy of the devotees and the Dham. But as long as our intelligence is sticking to material identity, it will not be visible. So Krishna is there, he's everywhere, he wants to give, he wants to give, he wants to give. As Krishna is Mahaprabhu, it's only giving, he wants us. So spiritual life for us means we have to simply accept it, what he is giving. We have to be fortunate. I want to be fortunate. Yes, if you're offering, please, yes, give me the fortune. I want to be able to take it. So this is our part to play in the spiritual life. Gauranga has come, he has shown his form, his pastime is Krishna has come, he's exhibiting his dharma, his leelas. Now we have something to talk about. We have all those instructions. He sends his guru, he sends the parampara, he sends the process of bhakti, he sends the yuga dharma chanting Hare Krishna. It's all given. We have to take it, we have to put it into practice. Otherwise we will remain like Hiranyakashipu. Not so big. Not so big, but the same propensity, it's controlling and enjoying propensity will be there. So we have to find out what is in our best interest, what is in our best, and take it. Learn how to surrender. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, those who have learned how to surrender, who know how to surrender. So we should be very diligent in our Krishna consciousness. I mean, after all, that's why most people join Krishna consciousness, I think, is to develop their love for Krishna and go back to Godhead. Somehow or another, we bring a lot more into Krishna consciousness. But it can be easy to forget. Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is so subtle, so fine, it'll slip through your fingers. I think Einstein said something similar. In my search for life, I think it has slipped through my fingers. So simply in our search for Krishna, you have to be very careful, otherwise he slipped through your fingers, he's gone. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Prema Nandi.